We want to begin this morning by, first of all, thanking you for being here. We have some visitors in our audience. We want you to know we're happy that you're here. If you have any questions about anything that you're going to hear or anything that you've seen and you'd like some clarification, please do not hesitate. Call upon us. That we'll be more than happy to answer those things, give you any kind of clarification you need to try to give you a better understanding of God's Word. It's our hope and our prayer that we state those things that are explicitly stated in God's Word, to do no more and no less, to follow His commands, to follow His patterns, and to do the things that He would have us do while we live upon this earth. And if you find that we have not done that, you think we've fallen short, you please point that out to us. We count you as a dear friend to do that. I also want to add to what Brother Donnie said in his announcements, I also would like to wish all you mothers a happy Mother's Day. You indeed have a very vital role, a very important role that God gave you in His design and grand scheme of things. And you should not just be honored in one day, but our nation honors mothers on this day. And I would suggest to you, if your mother is still living, that you would not hesitate to call her and tell her how much you love her and the things that she has done for you. I took my mom out when I was up in Indiana when I had the opportunity a couple weeks ago. This morning, for a variety of reasons, I've chosen a subject that, for me personally, and also I think for some in this congregation, is something that I think will be a help to you. I want to tell you before I begin, this is a very emotional lesson. I don't want you to feel sorry for me if I break down, if I cry. It's not made for theatrics. It's just a very, very difficult lesson, because every lesson that a person preaches, me especially, it first applies to me. And I can't apply this to you, but I'm going to use my experiences in my life and things that I've had to deal with in order to understand the great blessing that God has given us. In Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 3, the Bible says that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. That means that every blessing that God has given us in Christ is there for a purpose. It is needful. It is a blessing, and it is a blessing to be used. I want to talk today and this morning about a blessing that is singularly only for the people of God, for people who are members of the family of God. And it is a special blessing, and is one of the greatest blessings, besides the gift of His Son, which is the greatest blessing. But it is a blessing that is needful, but I'm afraid that it is not used wisely, timely, and often. That could help us. I want to talk to you this morning about prayer. I want to talk to you about our conversations with God. Prayer is a very important part of what God gave us in order to communicate with our Creator. And God, you don't have to see Him to know that He's near, but to know that He's there, He's always there when we need Him, when we're troubled, when we're hurting, when we need direction, when we've made mistakes, when we need His grace, when we need His mercy, and when we need His comfort. God loves us, period, in every way and in every degree. Prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is a communication between mortal men and the Creator of all life. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 12, the Bible says that we need to continually be steadfast in prayer. That's something that should be a habit in our life. Not something we do when we get ready to eat. Not something we do maybe before we go to bed. And I'm not telling you that those things aren't important, but I hope that we pray more than just before we go to bed and over meals, because it needs to be something that we are doing steadfastly. In Philippians 4, verse 6, the writer Paul wrote that we need to make our requests known unto God. Yes, I know that God knows what I need before I ask, Matthew 6, verse 8. But he commands me that I show faith and trust and confidence in that I bring my needs to the one who can help me. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, we are to pray with all supplication for all saints. We are to make entreaties. We are to make understandings to help others through our prayers. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, it says to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean 24 hours a day. It doesn't mean that we're always on our knees. But it means that it's not something we do once in a while. It's not something we do just when we need something. But it is part of our life and it is part of how we conduct ourselves as God's children. In 1 Peter 4, verse 7, it says that we need to be serious and watchful in our prayers. Prayer is a serious thing. You're talking to the God of heaven. You're talking to the creator of all life. And we're going to talk more about this in depth in a few weeks when I do my series on reverence. But we need to know who we're talking to. We need to remember who he is and who we are. And we need to be reverent and respectful. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, it says that we should be continuously, earnestly in prayers with thanksgiving. You know, I'm afraid that too many of us turn to prayer to ask, but never give thanks. But never thank God for the good things in our life, for the good things that he provides us, for the blessings that we have, for the opportunities that we have, for the relationships that we have. Do you ever just pray without asking God for a thing? But just thanking him for all the things that you have in your life. And in Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, we have the example of our Lord going to a mountain alone to pray. And he prayed all night. If you would do a study of the life of Christ upon the earth, when he was facing his greatest trials, he turned to prayer. He turned to prayer, and the Son of God, who left heaven and came to earth, saw the need and the comfort and the power to pray. How in the world can we not understand what a vital part of our duty with God revolves around this great blessing of prayer? But why do we pray? Why do we need to pray? I want to suggest to you in the beginning of this lesson that we pray to build a relationship. You are building a relationship between God and yourself. And that relationship gets closer and closer and more intimate as we pour our hearts and our souls out to God. We are a family. God is our Father. We are his children. And our Father cares about us. Our Father loves us. Our Father is concerned about us. And our Father is there to help us. And he loves us and he is willing to do whatever he can to supply the things that we need in our lives. This is a father and child relationship. And it's a very personal relationship. It's a very close relationship. And it is to be built upon and it is to be strengthened. And it has become more and more, what should I say, it should become more and more of something that we look to and gain strength from. God desires us to be close. He doesn't want us to be far away. He wants us to be dependent upon him. He wants us to acknowledge our need for him. He wants us to acknowledge that we need him and we need his help. And we need to remember in prayer that we're talking with God. You're not talking to your neighbor. You're not talking to a friend. You're talking to the creator of this world. You're talking to the one who spoke this world into existence. The one that holds the palm of in his hand this world. The one that gives life and breath to everything that lives and moves upon this earth, according to Acts 17. You're talking about someone that could change the course of anything he desires, that will bring this world to an end when he chooses to do so. You never need to forget that you're talking to someone who has unlimited power and unfathomable love. Like you and I have never known and can hardly understand. Do we use prayer as a safety belt? I've heard people make this comment. Well, I've tried to work this out. I've done everything I can. I think now I'll turn it over to God. Save your breath. Because you know God shouldn't be the last resort. He should be the first. He's not a safety valve to use in time of trouble. Now that doesn't mean you shouldn't turn to Him in time of trouble, but that should not be the only time that you talk with God. You ever feel like you have to reintroduce yourself to God? You know, Father, it's been a long time since I talked to you. It's been a long time that we had a heart-to-heart. It's been a long time since we really got down to the nitty-gritty about my life and what I need and the things that I'm struggling with and the things that I need you to help me with. You ever feel that you have to tell God who you are because it's been so long since you really talked to Him? I mean, really talk to Him and really pray to Him and really discuss with Him the things that are going on in your life. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you really prayed? I mean, really prayed. I mean, not just thanking Him, not over a meal, not before you go to bed, not when you get up. I mean to get down to the depths of your heart and talk with God. When is the last time you did that? If you can't remember, then it's been too long. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is a relationship that you need to build on. You need to strengthen it. And you need this more than you need anything in your life. Because you need to know and believe and trust God in every part of your life. Now, the next part of this lesson, I'm going to talk about things that are very painful. And I'm going to do that because I want you to understand something. If you don't build a relationship with God when it's good, it's going to be very difficult for you to gain the benefit of prayer when you need it the most when it is bad. Because you have not built this trust. You have not built this closeness. You have not built this intimate relationship that you have with God. And you truly dependence upon God. You haven't really come to grips with that. But when we get up against it, when we know that we need it, and we know that He is the one we need to talk to, sometimes we can't. And the reason we can't is because we haven't grown in this father and son relationship. I want to talk to you for a moment about prayerlessness. Now that seems like a kind of an odd word, doesn't it? Prayerlessness. That means a life without prayer. You see, one of the things that we pray to God about is burden bearing. Bearing burdens that weigh us down and try us and are difficult. And there are burdens that never did God ever intend for you to bear that burden alone. May 13th, 1974, I was in England serving in the armed forces. I had been gone away from home for 14 months. And I had a day off. It was Monday. I had a day off and I was going to do some sightseeing in England. And it was about 8 o'clock in the morning. And I was getting ready to get cleaned up and go out. I had just put my clothes on and I was really getting ready to go out the door. And there's a knock on my door. And there in front of me is my supervisor. A real good friend of mine. His name was Raul Cortez. He comes in and he's not looking at me. He's just looking down at the ground. He says, "Keith, I need to talk to you." I said, well, come on in, Corky. That was his nickname. We called him Corky. Come on in, Corky. He comes in and he gets in front of my locker. And he just puts his hand up on my locker and he's just kicking at the locker. He says, Keith, I got some bad news. I thought, man, I got to go to work. I had all my day planned. Nah, I wish that's what it was, but that wasn't it. He pauses for a minute. He says, Keith, you got to go home. Your brother's been killed in an accident. Your mom and dad need you. Didn't register at first. And all of a sudden it hit me. I got right in front of him. I said, what did you say? And he put his arm around me. I said, Keith, I'm sorry. But you got to go home. So I'm jumping around to go down to the Red Cross office. Then it hits me again. I got three brothers. Which one? I don't know. All the way down to the Red Cross office. I'm thinking it's my brother that's next to me, a year younger than me. You always like to drive his cars fast. Hung around with guys that like to do that, and that's what I thought. The whole way down, that's what I thought. When I got there, of course, I'm hoping it's the wrong person. So I get in front of the lady, and she says, Keith Greer? Yes. Reads my serial number, reads my home address, and I'm getting lower and lower because I know it's me. But then she reads the name, Dale Lloyd Greer, my middle brother, 15 years old. I slept in the chair. He says, I'm sorry, Sergeant Greer. He says, we'll get you out of here as quick as we can. Put me on a plane and went to Germany. Went from Germany, I went to New York. From New York, I went to Philadelphia. From Philadelphia, I went to Chicago. And the whole way, I'm thinking about what am I going to say? What am I going to say to my mother? What am I going to say to my father? They had just been divorced for 2 months. What am I going to say? I get off the plane, I get on the bus, drives me to my hometown in northern Indiana. I get there, my uncle and my brother are picking me up. The one that I thought it was him. They haven't seen me in 14 months. He says, Keith, it's good to see you. I said, I want to see Mom. I went over to my mom's house, all the cars there. All the families there. My aunts open the door and they're bawling. And they're hugging me. You know, they're all happy to see me. I'm happy to see them. But I'm looking for my mom. She comes out of the bedroom. Keith, I'm so glad to see you. I said, Mom, I'm sorry. She says, I know. We hugged and we cried. And I told my brother, I said, I'm going to need to go see Dad. But before I left, I looked in my mom's room. And there's my mom on her knees. And I heard her say, God, help me deal with today, and we'll deal with tomorrow when it comes. I went to my father. He's in pretty bad shape, too. He's glad to see me, but not under these conditions. So I go to the funeral. I go to the funeral home, and I don't want to go in. I stand outside, I won't go in. I feel if I don't go in, it's not real. my uncle comes out. When I just saw the other day, we went to Bowling Green. I had to do some business at the bookstore for my Philippine trip. And we had dinner with them. His name is Orby. He comes out, he puts his arm around me, he says, Keith, I know it's a hard deal, but you're the oldest son, and your folks need you. You got to go in there. I said, I know. So I walked in there, and who met me at the door? My grandfather, my dad's father. Very close to him, we would preach his funeral a few years, sometime later, him and his wife, my grandmother. He grabs me and puts his arms around me, and he looks me in the eye. He says, Keith, I wish I could say something to make it better, but I can't. He says, I want you to know that this is the toughest thing you've ever been dealt, but God will get you through this. So for the next 2 days, one of them would get upset, and then the other one would get upset. I'd comfort for one and comfort the other. Yesterday was 43 years since it happened. It's a bad day. God never intended anyone to ever bear that burden alone. God loves you. He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand that you have to say goodbye to something that's very personal and vital to you. He doesn't understand how you feel when he watched him murder his son on a cross, and he can't understand what you're going through. Please, don't insult God. In Psalms 55, verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. Strengthen him. Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And Ephesians 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his might. God carried me through that 30 days that I was home. And you know what? It didn't hit me when I was at home, because I was so immersed with my mother and father. It didn't hit me until I got back to England. And for the first week back, I cried every night. I couldn't think, I couldn't focus, I couldn't do anything, until finally, one night, I said, Keith, turn this over to God. Quit doing this by yourself. I'm 20 years old, I gotta learn. And you know what? I did learn. When I turned it over to God, I started to recover. Does it hurt? Yes, it hurts. But I never would have got through it had God not been there to help me. Burden bearing. God understands it. You ever get worried? You ever get tired? You ever wonder what's going to happen next? In Isaiah chapter 15, verse 4, the Bible says, learn to talk with the Lord when you're weary. Matthew 11 says, the great invitation, come unto me, all ye that laden are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, for my burden is easy, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And you will find rest unto your souls. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Satan's a warring lion. And who does he attack? He attacks the weak. He attacks the sick. He attacks those who are struggling. He attacks us when we are weary. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, wait on the Lord. He never grows weary. And he gives strength to the weak. And Galatians 6 verse 9 says that we will reap if we faint not, if we do not become weary. Do not become weary in well-doing, for we will reap if we faint not. This morning, I open up Facebook. There's a post from a good preaching friend of mine in Arizona, Jerry Johnson, preacher in Arizona, to let me know that my brother Dave Baker passed away after his battle with leukemia at 3:00 yesterday afternoon. 2 years ago, Dave lost his only daughter in a car accident. And he's been grieving over that for 2 years. And now he's gone. So I'm saddened by that. And then I'll go down a little further. There's a post from a good friend of ours, Ray and Deanna Judy. I knew Ray and Deanna Judy. I met them about 3 weeks after they were married in Peru, Indiana. And we have been friends ever since that day till this day. 8 years ago, she got breast cancer. And they did what they had to do. She began to go in remission. She was in remission a couple of years and it came back. She fought it again. It came back again. She fought it. She had a little time when she was okay. And it came back again about a month ago. And she went to a specialist in Indianapolis. And they told her the chemo is not going to work anymore. So there's nothing we can do. So she's under hospice care. This morning, her husband puts on the Facebook that it's gone quicker than they thought. And she's really having a lot of pain, and she's under a lot of medication, and things are progressing quickly. Sister Judy is 53 years old, has 2 grown boys, and 4 grandchildren. We lost one of my best friends, preacher in Indiana, sat in a chair, went to sleep, and never woke up 3 years ago. Lost a good friend of ours last May, May 10th, up in Ohio, had to do her funeral. Lost a real good friend in Ohio. I get worried. It hurts. It pains me. People I love, people I care about, see people suffer, I get weary. I get tired. When is it going to end? It's going to end when I draw my last breath. That's when it's going to end. What does Job say? Life's a few days. Man is a few days and full of trouble. Yes, we have difficulty. Yes, we have adversity. Yes, we get weary. But you know what? The devil wants you to give up. But God says, I got something better in store. You just put your faith in me. You trust me. You walk with me. And I'll get you to the finish line. Sign me up. Yes, I get tired. Yes, I get overwhelmed. Yes, it hurts. But I'm not going to give in to the devil. I'm going to let God carry me through. We sing a song. Did you think to pray? When you think you can't take another step, when you don't know how to do or what to do, you think you've lost your focus, keep your eye on God. He will refocus your life. He will put things in perspective. He will help you not grow weary. Discouraged. You ever get overwhelmed by earthly struggles? When we get overwhelmed by earthly struggles, we begin to lose focus. We can't think. We can't clear. Everything that we would always do to try to help us, it seems that everything is weighing upon us. It just seems that there's no light at the end of the proverbial tunnel. We just don't know what to do. In Deuteronomy 31, Moses' instruction to Joshua and Israel was not to become discouraged. Yes, there would be difficulties along the way, but God would see them through. He would take care of them. In Joshua chapter 1, Moses has died. Now Joshua's at the helm, and he tells them in verse 1, 6 through 9, don't become discouraged. Don't become dismayed. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will help you take this land, and you will give it to the children of Israel. I will fulfill my promise. And he did. In Luke chapter 21, verse 34, Jesus says that we need to take heed or things will discourage us. It's easy to become discouraged. I've learned, being a gospel preacher, that discouragement comes in a lot of different ways. I get discouraged when people I love and people I care about don't do the right thing. They don't have the right focus. They don't have the right priority in their life. They don't have the right understanding of the deep need for God and the place that He needs to have in their lives. And I preach and I teach and I plead and I pray. It doesn't change. It doesn't change. That's discouraging. It weighs you down. It makes life more difficult. It makes it a struggle. You know what would be easier? Don't care. Don't get involved. That's why a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't get involved because then they can't be discouraged. Then they can't be bothered. And then it doesn't trouble them. But you know what? That's not the kind of brother or sister I want. I don't want somebody that can't be bothered. I don't want somebody that doesn't care. I don't want somebody that's not concerned. And if I don't want anybody like that, then I'm sure and I'm not going to be like that. But you know what? What are you going to do? You're going to throw in the proverbial towel? You're going to give in? You're going to say, well, forget it. If they want to go to eternal destruction, let them go. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. That's exactly what he hopes to do. He hopes to discourage you to the point that you'll quit caring, that you'll quit working, that you'll quit trying to help other people, that you'll just get immersed in your own life, and you won't worry about anybody but yourself. And I'm going to tell you something. Satan is an excellent master at getting people to buy into this, because it's so much easier if I'm not involved. But you know what? I'm glad people aren't like that. Because they've made a difference in my life. People have helped me get over discouragement. People have helped me focus. People have helped me understand that it's not all doom and gloom. It's not all bad. That there are good things. There are the silver lining. They help me. They encourage me. And they help me not feel so overwhelmed. If you feel overwhelmed by your earthly struggles, begin to focus on the good things. Begin to focus on the things that are right and the things that are good. And quit letting your mind go back to all these struggles as if it's never ending. Every struggle is temporary, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to last. It's going to run its course and it's going to be over. Even if it's endless, it's going to run its course till it kills you. It's going to run its course. That's all it can do. But if you allow earthly struggles and earthly difficulties and tragedies in your life to continue to plague you, then those tragedies and that adversity is not doing that. You're doing it to yourself. And you know why? Because you have forgotten about your greatest benefactor. And that's God. God can help lift you from discouragement. He can take that away. You ever doubt? When people begin to doubt in God, you can see it in their eyes. You know what? I used to never believe that. But I do now. When people begin to doubt God and begin to doubt whether he's really that powerful, he's that loving, and he's that caring, you begin to see it. You begin to observe it. That doubt is creeping into their lives. Doubt is your greatest threat to your faith. You know, that's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to put doubt in your mind. He's trying to put doubt in your heart that you're thinking, maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe he's not as concerned. Maybe he doesn't really care that as much as I thought he did. That's ridiculous. Nobody cares for you like God. Nobody loves you like God. Nobody can help you like God. It's foolishness to ever doubt God. Have you ever felt life is just cursed with many problems? He said, this is one problem after another. It just seems that it's a chain that never ends. Ever seen like that? In Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please God. We must believe that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In Hebrews 3:12, he warned that the Israelites fell because they had a heart of unbelief. In Jude 20, we need to build ourselves up in our faith, and we need to do that in order that we don't have doubt. I thought that what I went through in 1974 was the worst thing that would ever happen to me. It was to 1983. In 1983, I went through a personal struggle, one that I hadn't planned on, one that I didn't want, and one that would put my life upside down and would try my faith to the core. I lost my wife. I lost my children because the cord took them away from me. I sat on a chair in my empty house in Peru, Indiana, in the dark, with no pattering of the feet of my children in the room. An empty house. And I sat there and I cried, and I cried, and I cried, and I wallowed in self-pity. And I did that for months. I didn't tell anybody. My family. See, I went through this before and repaired it. And then it happened again. And when it happened the second time, I didn't tell anybody. And I tried to handle it by myself. And one night I'm sitting on my bed in the barracks. And I'm thinking, you know, I've tried to live my life right. I've tried to do what God wants me to do. I've tried to be the Christian God wants me to be. Why is this happening to me? And for a moment, for a brief moment, I began to doubt whether or not it was really worth being a Christian. But you know what pulled me out of it? You know what brought me back into focus? On my dresser, there was a picture of two precious people in my life. My children. I had to get my focus back where it needed to be. Because I still had them. And I needed to be there for them, to teach them about God and lead them in a way that I wanted them to go. I didn't know how. I didn't know if I could ever do it alone. I prayed to God, help me. Help me refocus. Help me to be able to be a father that I always wanted to be. Help me that I might still have a chance to have this relationship. I don't think I've ever prayed so hard and so long for anything. My prayer was answered a year later or less than a year later. I met Rita. That was my answer. She helped me raise those two kids. Today's Mother's Day. Friday, when we came home from Bowling Green, there was a package on the porch. It was from our son, my son, in Indiana, for Rita, for Mother's Day. Today, my daughter Jessica, she'll call Rita and she'll wish her a happy Mother's Day. On Father's Day, I hear from Leslie, I hear from Tara. They're our kids. It hasn't been easy. It's not the way I planned it. But I wouldn't trade anything, not anything in this world, for the answer that God sent me. Because I never would have done it had He not brought her into my life. I didn't see it. I didn't know how. But God did. God always does. Do you ever be afraid to answer the phone? Do you ever wonder when the next shoe is going to drop? I did. I said, God, I can't take another thing. If anything else happens, I'm going to crack. Never happened. You know why? Because God said He'll never give me more than I can handle. I want you to listen to me. I know some of you are really struggling out there. You've had tremendous losses in your life. You've had a terrible tragedy in your life. I understand. I do. Believe me, I understand. But God loves you. God will help you. God will see you through, and it will get better. The hurt, it will always be there. But don't ever let it cause you to doubt that God doesn't love you and God doesn't care for you, because He does. And whatever you need to help you get to the other side, God will lead you there if you'll let Him. Disillusion. You ever see all the happiness just sucked out of your life? No joy. Everything seems doom and gloom. Everything seems to be falling apart and crumbling around you. We begin to question the life of a Christian. We begin to think, really, is it really helping me? Is it really profiting me trying to serve God when I got all these struggles and I got all these problems and I've had all this adversity in my life? Is it really helping me? And I can become disillusioned. You know, Joshua in chapter 1, God had to convince Joshua, don't be afraid. You saw how I was with Moses. You saw how I helped him. You saw how I led him. Don't be afraid. I'm going to help you. You're going to get this done. You're going to get this land. You're going to take it. I'm going to give it to you. You just got to trust me. In Luke 18, verse 1, the Bible says that He says we must pray and never lose heart. Brother, don't let life disillusion you. Don't let tragedy, don't let struggle, don't let difficulty, don't let it disillusion you to make you get sour on this thing called life. God didn't put us here to be miserable. God didn't put us here because He wanted to just test our faith over and over again. That's not why God put us here. In Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, I want you to open your Bible. If you don't remember anything that I talked about this morning, you never forget these two verses. Listen to what the Bible tells us. Listen to the God's mind as He tells us in verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can he do to me? kill me. That's all he can do. He can't take away my crown. He can't take away my hope. He can't take the relationship I have with God. He can't do that. But I want you to know that he can, that Satan could do it, the world could do it, your difficulty could do it, if you allow the disillusionment to set in and you forget who you are and who God is. Do you understand who your Father is? Do you understand who's in your corner? Do you understand that you have the greatest source of help, the greatest source of strength, the greatest line to get you out of whatever's ailing you? And all you have to do is ask. All you got to do is ask. Don't let life disillusion you. Don't let it disillusion you. Because I'll tell you what, this is the last point, it's the worst part of the whole lesson. Because if you forget about God, you try to handle all this by yourself, you try to deal with all these struggles on your own, and you let life overwhelm you, you let it discourage you, you let it disillusion you, you let doubt creep in your mind, you let all of that happen, you rest and assure that the next step is going to happen. It's going to happen. Disaster is in the wake. The end's inevitable. Disaster will come. I'm telling you, it's going to come. And it's going to come down like a ton of bricks. But it won't be because that's what God wanted. It won't be because God wasn't there to help you. It's not because he couldn't have stopped it. That's not why it will happen. It will happen because we forgot about it. We tried to do it ourselves. We tried to make that straight narrow path. We tried to do it by ourselves. We tried to get through the minefields by ourselves. We tried to get through the pitfalls. We tried to rock. We tried to be men. We tried to be women. And we could do this ourselves. No, you can't. No, you can't. And if you try, you will fail. Guaranteed. God never intended you to do this by yourself. Know that Psalm 23? Know that part that says, I will fear no evil though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. One day, I'm going to leave this life. One day, I'm going to cross the proverbial Jordan. And I'm going to quit ceasing in this existence. And I'm going to wake up. But I believe from my study of the Bible, when I make that journey, and when I make that transition, I'm not going to be alone. God's going to carry me through that. And when I wake up on the other side, I'm going to be in his presence with not a care, not a worry, not a difficulty. And everything that I experienced in this life, and all the pain, and all the adversity, and all the struggle, I will not remember, because it will be gone. I want to know what that will feel like. I want to experience that. How can I make sure that I experience it? Focus and turn and build this relationship. Trust God to get you through the difficult part. Trust God to carry you over the hill. Let God lead you through the valley. Let God lead you through the tears, the valley of tears. Let God lead you as you try to make sense of it all. You know, there's a very dim picture in the Bible, in Ephesians 2:12, of a life without God, without hope, without direction. But you know what? Life doesn't have to be that way. You can have hope. You can have direction. because you can have a relationship with God. John 15, verse 5 says, we can do nothing without him. And Psalm 55, verse 17 says that when we pray, he hears our voice. Anytime, anywhere, any circumstance, any need, under any condition, under any situation, when I bow my head, when I address my Father, his ears are open, his heart is there, and he is there to help me if I'll turn to him. You see, if you have no relationship with God, then you have nothing to walk away from. If you don't have a relationship with God, then you have not lost anything. And you'll keep trying to settle these things by yourself. What kind of prayer life do you have, brother and sister? What kind of relationship do you have with God? Is it close? Is it intimate? Is it personal? Is there a relationship that you turn to him first and you, instead of last? Or somewhere in the middle? You see, remember David and Daniel. Those that had a relationship with God were not defeated by their circumstances. David made some serious mistakes, Bathsheba. Remember the children of Israel? He made some serious mistakes. Daniel's in the lion's den. He was in captivity, taken away from his home, but he never forgot about God. He never lost sight, never lost focus. You know why? Because he trusted him. He believed in him. He obeyed him. And he depended on him. And I want to suggest to you this morning in closing that the greatest ally, the greatest help that you have sits in heaven waiting for us to turn and trust and believe and confess and obey and let him help us as we struggle through this thing called life. Yes, life will be a struggle, but it will never defeat us. It will never destroy us unless we begin to try to deal this situation by ourselves. I'm going to close this lesson before we offer the invitation. I'd ask you to bow with me. I want to pray to our God before we end this service. Before I offer the invitation, would you pray with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, we come to thee this time ever thankful for the willingness you have to send your Son to this earth, to live, to die, to give his life as a ransom for many, to live a life and to demonstrate that a trusting of you and to put your words in life, in our lives, and put them to work can help us deal with life, deal with its problems, deal with its adversity, and that we can be stronger, we can be more determined, we can be more focused, and we can be strengthened by our trials, and we make us better people and better able to help others. Father, we're so thankful for this avenue of prayer that you have given us to help us with our needs and our lives here on this earth. We pray that we might always and often use this avenue, that we might talk with you, that we might have a discourse with you, that we might be close to you, that you would help us through the things that we need in our lives. And Father, help us never to become disillusioned, never to doubt, never to become discouraged, and never willing to give up, but to keep on keeping on by trusting you, by believing in you, by having a deep, deep, abiding faith that whatever life throws at us, that you will see us through if we'll but trust you and we'll obey you. Father, go with us as we leave this place today, more determined, more committed, more dedicated, not only in our service to you, but in our personal relationship, that we might grow closer and closer to you by talking to you more, depending upon you more, and trusting you more. And forgive us of anything that's amiss in our life. And we ask these things in your Son and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Brethren, my story is not unique. You can take my experiences and you can replace them with your own. But I'm telling you, it works. God will see you through. God will help you be better. God will help you be stronger. But you got to go to Him. You got to trust Him. And you have to have faith in Him. If you're here and you're not a child of God, this is something you do not have. You do not have this avenue of prayer because you are not one of His children. It's not because God doesn't want you to have it. It's not because He doesn't want to share it. It is because you have not rendered obedience to the gospel to put yourself in the family of God. Hearing His word, believing that word, repenting of your sin, confessing His name before men, submitting the baptism and contact the blood of Christ in order that you might arise to walk in newness of life, that you might become a child of the King, that you might become a servant of Christ, that you become His brother, and you are in His family, you are part of His household, and you can bow your head and you can look up in the heaven and you can say, "My Father who art in heaven." No more powerful words could ever be uttered on this earth. To know that who you're talking to is listening and cares and loves you. If you're here and you are a Christian, and you've not used this avenue, and you don't have the degree of trust, and you don't have the kind of relationship that you need to, please, please dedicate yourself to develop it. I promise you, if you haven't needed it yet, you will. You will. Don't wait until then. Do it now. If we can pray with you and for you, we're here to help you. And if we can help you in any way, we bid you to come forward. Let's together we stand as we sing.